Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It's very cute, Aaron Rodgers, to pretend like this is not a revenge game on Sunday night when the Packers come to Pittsburgh. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We will get to Victor Wembanyama.
Wemby is his nickname.
Which is turning out to maybe be one of your most egregious opinions you've ever had in your life, thinking he was going to be a bust. Turns out he might be the greatest basketball player of all time when this thing is said and done.
5 minutes into the Spurs-Mavericks game last night, I actually was going to text you and say, Maggie, I don't think I deserve get enough credit for having the single worst take of all time. I got to call.
Wembanyama?
Yeah.
I mean,
it can't be worse.
What's the exact opposite of a bust? It's a 7'5 Frenchman named Victor Wembanyama. Oh, my God.
I know. We should have known you were off on this take when he went to go study with the monks. That's when you were in real trouble.
I came away with one thing last night. The picture of him. I didn't remember. Did we do that this offseason? Okay. He had a buzz cut. I'm like, that's why he reminds me of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who did a similar thing. He's Kareem combined with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, we'll get to Wemby in a moment because he kind of really overshadowed Cooper Flagg, who was also on the floor but having a little trouble last night. But first, Aaron Rodgers. He spoke yesterday. Manny, can I hear cut five, please? So Aaron Rodgers talking about how, yes, this is not a revenge game in the same way that it may have been when, let's say, Brett Favre first faced the Packers after he had left Green Bay.
Well, Brett got traded. And then he went to one of the hated rivals. You know, I was in New Jersey for a couple of years. I don't have any animosity toward the organization. Obviously, I wish that, you know, things have been better in our last year there. But, you know, I have a great relationship with a lot of people still in that organization.
Okay, more from Roger. Says he does wish things had ended differently, Pearl, after 18 seasons with the Packers. But he knew the writing was on the wall the night they drafted Jordan Love.
Obviously, would have loved to ride off in the sunset after a Super Bowl win, but that's not the way the league goes sometimes. And, you know, I knew the writing was on the wall when Jordan was picked. And it was a matter of time. I happened to win MVP the first 2 years he was with us. But I knew at some point there would be a change, and if I wanted to play, I'd probably have to be elsewhere. So I understand the situation. You know, we live and we learn, and I have nothing but love and appreciation for the fan base, for the city of Green Bay.
Okay, last one from Rodgers here, Pearl, on why his feelings now have maybe evolved on the Packers from, let's say, the day he walked out of the darkness retreat that fateful day.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, maybe. You know, I have a lot of great memories from my time there. A lot of great interactions with fans over the years, you know, living in Green Bay, living in Suamico, living in Hobart, going to Chives, being out and about, seeing people at the Piggly Wiggly when I'm shopping for groceries. I grew up there. I spent 18 years there from 21 to 39. So I'm thankful for my time there.
Don't you underestimate Suamico, Wisconsin.
I never did.
He sounds like a presidential candidate who's visiting a major primary state.
Well, he almost was. That's not that far off. He was a vice presidential candidate for about 5 minutes, much to everyone's delight. But, you know, Listen, Rodgers has the ability to be so charming and charismatic when he wants to be, and then he can be sarcastic when he wants to, he can be biting when he wants to be. But there is one thing that will always be the baseline for the Aaron Rodgers that we know, right? On the outside, the one that we know. This dude never forgets a slight. This is a guy who is like a memory like an elephant.
Yep.
He's keeping receipts all up here, Pearl. Like like reading defenses, he reads and has a laundry list of all the people who have ever wronged him, who have ever slighted him. He's keeping this in a file, and maybe all great players do that, but Rodgers does it like to a Hall of Fame level.
Not a lot of great players have a resentment against their parents to push their parents out of their life. So you're right. He is a Hall of Fame resentment creator. There's no, there's a lot of evidence. That's not reading into something that's not there. That's publicly known.
Yes. And so, you know, it was only 7 weeks ago when we had the opener and he beat the Jets. The Jets he was with for, what, 18 games? I mean, he barely was in the facility. Made a lot of headlines for how little production there was for his time in New York. But he said afterwards, I want to beat everyone associated with the New York Jets.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, like, I thought the way that it ended in Green Bay was a lot more personal than the way it even ended with the Jets. Like, the Jets got weird fast because that organization is terrible from the top down. But the Green Bay Packers, like, it hurts more when it's the person you've been with for nearly two decades, won a Super Bowl together. And they basically, you know, if we recall the details there, you know, went to California to try to meet with him. Never really got in touch. And then according to Rodgers, Brian Gutekunst, the GM, just left California. And that was basically it.
Okay. Something you said stuck with me.
What's that?
That you think that Aaron Rodgers will say all the right things before the game, then afterwards take some shots.
Well, if he wins, he will.
If he wins.
He will be I think he will be. He can't help himself. Like, he will say something if he wins.
I would not bet against that. I think you could easily be right. But I do think that Rodgers, I have two teenage daughters.
Okay.
And my wife read a parenting book that said, do not take their emotions in the moment too seriously because they often change. Aaron Rodgers, I feel, is volatile. I think that he was probably hot against Green Bay, but I do believe that the experience with the Jets was more powerful to him because it was more recent. And I think that his resentment shifted to the Jets and away from the Packers. And I think that his experience with the Jets, in hindsight, made his experience with the Packers seem like a more positive thing. You know the meme where the guy's walking with a girl in his arm and he looks behind another girl?
Yeah.
In the resentment chart, the resentment, if that's what Aaron Rodgers is, the girlfriend in this weird metaphor.
Yeah, then you're here now. Finish
the
it.
Jets are the hot resentment. He's more into, I really do think that he's more angry at the Jets. And I think it changes his perspective on Green Bay. 2 years in New York. And let's face it, 2 years with the Jets will do that.
Yeah, I'm surprised his hair's not completely white.
Yeah.
Because it will age you to be around the Jets.
I think he's mad at the Jets. And I think I do sense that some of the positivity towards Green Bay is genuine.
So 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. EJ, can you throw this up on the poll? What ended worse? The Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay or Aaron Rodgers at the Jets? Now, there's probably going to be a little like recency bias here.
Yep.
But let's not forget, like, there was more equity with Green Bay.
Yep.
There was more at stake. Like, there was more memories. There was more everything. Success and, you know, failing to live up to expectations. There was just so much more. And, you know, Rodgers is going through clearly something at the time. The darkness retreats, the ayahuasca, all this stuff, which is very non-traditional. And he was extremely open about it. And I think that he was very, very upset with the Packers that they didn't seem to have his back when he was still winning MVPs. Mm-hmm. And after they drafted Jordan Love and never gave him the heads up on it. Like, we know how much that devastates these starters.
That was a huge deal. You can't underestimate the impact of drafting Jordan Love. But I will say this. The last year, Rodgers was telling them, I'm not sure if I want to play. And remember, he didn't pick up the phone. He said it was bad service in Malibu.
Well, I mean, everyone's been through
that. The opposite happened
at the Malibu house, at the Malibu mansion. Bane of my existence, everybody.
he went to New York. He said, I want to play. And Aaron Glenn, specifically the coach of the Jets, basically gave him the middle finger. I think that was such a stronger experience to him. Green Bay, I think Goody would have resigned him. I don't think they even necessarily want to get rid of him, but they're like, he's out of California. I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know that they wanted to go to Jordan Love. They just won 13 or 14 games 2 years in a row. So I think what New York did when Aaron Glenn brought him in just to cut him, I think that is a much stronger experience for him. I think it's more visceral in this moment.
I said, you don't know me. And he said, you don't know me. And then I said, exactly.
It's so good. And it kind of seems like maybe Rodgers telling him that was exactly how it went down. Now what we know a little about Aaron Glenn.
Exactly.
And now, yeah, now Justin Fields. Now that's Justin Fields' problem. It's not Aaron Rodgers' problem.
Exactly.
Yeah, but Rodgers said something yesterday. He kind of expanded on the Brett Favre and how he replaced Favre, and then how now Jordan Love replaced Rodgers. And he said the same thing happened. Favre got hurt in a game against the Cowboys. Rodgers came in, played really well, and that's when he knew, okay, I can be a starter in this league. Same thing happened with Rodgers. Got hurt against your Eagles. Jordan Love comes in, completed like 6 of 8 passes or something, scored a touchdown, and realized, okay, I can play in this league. So I know, Rod, you're not sure if maybe the Packers would have even gone back to Rodgers. According to him, he thought the writing was on the wall, not just when Love got drafted, but that fateful day in Philadelphia or against Philadelphia.
That being said, it's also, he's in Pittsburgh. Let's not underestimate.
It's like, not in Lambeau.
Right, no, but I'm saying Rodgers is in Pittsburgh, and like something real is happening here with the Steelers. He, and this, you might not believe this, he might actually be focused on this team and not really
He can multitask when it comes to
right.
slights.
He does have a big brain. I mean, we talked to Bill Michaels, a Wisconsin radio host yesterday. He's like, Rodgers has been brilliant since the day he got here. I mean, even people who don't like Rodgers, like, man, the guy, he has an incredible memory. He is sharp and somewhat eccentric. Like that, we read the Ian O'Connor book, but the dude is smart. You're right. He could totally multitask and be focused on the Steelers. Do you think this will affect his play? Because one thing the Steelers have not done all year is take any shots downfield. They're so conservative. Is he going to want to send a message?
So I think it depends on how Mike Tomlin approaches this. Now, one thing that we learned last year, if you guys forgot about this, and we're talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers hosting the Green Bay Packers this Sunday night. So it's Rodgers' second revenge game of the season, if you're keeping track. But Russell Wilson kind of betrayed something last year about Mike Tomlin that we had never known before. At least maybe the local media in Pittsburgh knew, but I'd never heard of it. That Mike Tomlin has like a petty game ball that he gives out when it's necessary.
I don't remember this.
So
no.
Russell Wilson kind of like, he kind of alluded to it, and I think it probably ticked off Tomlin because he so wants to keep everything in house. But there's like, not every week, but when the situation arises and somebody's either facing somebody who wronged them or has a little extra mustard on the game, Mike Tomlin will hand out a petty game.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So I think how do all the Steelers have a little extra juice because of this? Probably depends on how Mike Tomlin approaches it.
Oh, well, you know what?
Like, do it for Aaron.
I think I'm going to go to my betting app right now and totally. Wait.
Yeah, Steelers 3.5-point underdogs.
Mike Tomlin seems to really like Aaron Rodgers, and I think he would do that for Aaron Rodgers.
He might. 888-710-4ISN. Now, as far as the matchup is concerned in this game, you know, it's funny.
Well, yeah, that's another factor. That's a good defense, too.
Yeah, and listen, Micah Parsons, for some reason, last week in Arizona, they decided, we'll just kind of single cover this guy. Well, I don't think the Steelers are going to be that stupid. So I think the Steelers are going to throw everything in the kitchen sink at trying to stop Micah Parsons and giving Aaron Rodgers as much time as possible. But Rodgers is also one of the best maybe ever to do it in terms of getting the ball out quickly. He, Tom Brady, I mean, these guys are masters at just getting rid of the football and doing it in a way where they don't turn the ball over a lot. So,
I think Micah didn't really take off until the fourth quarter of that game. They had bottled him up majorly. Like he was, I remember the announcer said, "Where's Micah Parsons today?"
He had 10 pressures in the game though, not just the 3 sacks.
But he really wasn't getting to the quarterback.
First set.
The opposite is true, by the way, with the Steelers. I think the Packers will bottle up DK Metcalf. They're not going to let him get a slant and go. They're going to, that was one thing I was like, oh man, you got to watch out for DK here. If you don't go to DK Metcalf, who's your next target? kind of get a guy on
Darnell Freiermuth. Washington.
Get a guy on Freiermuth. Yeah.
Your 6'7", 300-pound, air quotes, tight end. I think he's going to be the guy probably on Parsons to help double team.
My litmus test for how the Packers are doing and how many fans they have in the opposing crowd is when Freiermuth catches a pass. If you hear the moo that sounds like a boo.
Yeah, for the Steelers
which
fans.
Which is almost every road stadium. then you know that there are a lot of Steelers fans. I mean, but they're at home. It'll be interesting. Do Packers fans usually also take over stadiums. They can't really take over Pittsburgh. I don't think it's a stadium where you get seats for the
Sunday night game. Yes, this crowd's going to be whipped up.
It's going to be a factor.
Bummer that you're coming off a loss to the Bengals, you know. Yeah. But I still think people look at the rest of the AFC North and they're looking at, you know, Lamar is still kind of back at practice, but certainly not full strength. Obviously, Cleveland's a mess. Cincinnati, we'll see. But probably would have been maybe even more at a fever pitch if they were coming off of a win, but nonetheless makes this game really important. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And I think also for both sides of this, obviously this is not reinventing the football like wheel here, but can either team get the run game going? You know, we saw Chase Brown run roughshod last week over the Steelers, and it was like, where did that come from? You know, so are they going to be able, you know, to try to stop the run, because that's been a big part of Green Bay's offense. And then flip side, you know, Jalen Warren.
And don't forget Ken Gainwell, former Philadelphia Eagle.
Kenneth.
Yeah, I call him Ken. I know. Why does everyone call him Kenneth Gainwell? Like, nobody's called Kenneth.
His mama wants him called Kenneth. We call him Kenneth.
Do you know anyone named Ken? Would you call them Kenneth? It's kind of weird. It's very formal.
I don't know how many Kenneths we still have.
All right, Andrew, why aren't you Andy, bro?
Kenneth is a lot more complicated than Andrew. I mean, why isn't he Elijah? Why aren't you Manuel?
Because you didn't even say it right. That's why.
Manny's Emmanuel.
Oh.
Have you ever received an email from him before?
Yes, and I always get I have a major problem with you because I always put an M for it to start sending your email to you. And I'm like, why is the M not coming up? You know, autocorrect on email?
Yeah, because that's not my government, man.
I was having an issue, though, on Twitter, too. Trying to tag you on Twitter.
Oh, your Twitter handle is awesome.
I'm like, no one refers you as E.
But what's the full handle?
E. Rodriguez Radio.
Yeah, that one I had trouble finding.
You go by Manny.
I'd love to know out there. Are we still making Kenneths? You know? Is that a name?
Well, nobody calls you Margaret.
Because they'd be dead wrong.
Yeah, that is a wild story.
That my name's just Maggie?
Yeah.
My government, as Manny would say?
That's right.
I've heard people call you Margaret.
Yeah, I just go with it.
Margarita.
I like that one better. 888-710-4ISN. Everything but Maggie May. You know I don't like that name. 888-710-4476. My personal revenge game is against Rod Stewart, but we've already covered that ground. All right, Aaron Rodgers. And the Packers collision course. Maggie and Perloff show. Do you consider this revenge game? And also for the Packer fans out there, I mean, you probably want to beat Rodgers too. I mean, come on. The guy was, let's call it a buck, as they say. The dude was insufferable at the end. You can
keep
still
it a buck.
You keep it a buck, whatever. You can still have respect and love for the guy and acknowledge you were a gigantic pain in the rear end at the end.
Oh, I don't.
The McAfee appearances.
I don't know.
The drugs, the darkness retreat, not having service at the Malibu house. If you're a Packer fan, you can love Aaron Rodgers, but you also have every right to hope that Jordan Love shoves it down their throats.
I don't think it's 100% that way. I really don't. Because I know a lot of Packers fans loved Favre even after he left, despite there was a lot of reporting on some kind of beef there.
Also wasn't the greatest dude.
I feel, and I'm saying a lot of fans loved him. And I think I'm not sure fans think that way, especially young fans. What do they care about? They don't know about the cell phone service in Malibu. They're just like, I like watching that guy play. I want his jersey.
I don't know. I think young fans are actually more tuned in to the TikTok of everything, not literally on TikTok, but I wonder if there's still a little leftover, like, you know, good riddance. And the other part, too, is Love has been the complete opposite. What do we know about Jordan Love? Nothing.
Well, I mean, what do we know about Aaron Rodgers when he was sitting behind Favre? Nothing.
No, Rodgers got weird at the end.
Yeah, we
can call that.
Jordan Love could be weird in 10 years. We have no idea. He's where Aaron Rodgers in his fifth year where Love is, was anonymous. Brett Favre was Mr. Personality, so in 10 years, Jordan Love could be doing all kinds of weird drugs.
Yeah, or just weird conspiracy theories and all that nonsense. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Just nuts. All right.
He's from Hawaii. He's nice.
Coming up next, we've got Jerry Jones at the owners' meetings. Did he show his hand on what the Cowboys' strategy will be for the trade deadline? It's the Maggie Perloff Show.
He's exposed.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Himself. Oh man, Manny, why are you in such a bad mood, Manny? The Knicks won. They look great. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Manny is playing Maggie's least favorite song, and people still don't understand why. It's a great, great song, and it's got your name in it.
Yeah, listen to it, and people sing it to you every day of your life from when you're 5 years old, and see if you like it.
Manny, I know
you have to be in a good mood.
Oh, I'm just dandy.
Let's get to the phones. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll get to the Cowboys in just a moment. But we're asking about Aaron Rodgers facing the Green Bay Packers for the first time since their breakup. First of all, which breakup was worse? Rodgers and the Packers, Rodgers and the Jets. And what do you think about it? Barry's in Portland, Oregon. Good morning, Barry. How are you?
Pretty good. How's you guys doing?
We're good.
Aaron Rodgers, who always plays, nothing gets to him. There's a story that Aaron has never had the answer to. It's the Winston Moss story. In this story, Aaron Rodgers disrespected her in the locker room and from the whole team his first year there. He was trying to show that he didn't have to be accountable for anything, that he's the leader. This is his team. Winston Moss got fired for those comments. They asked Winston Moss what the team has to do to make the coach successful. Winston said everybody has to be accountable. Everybody. And the reporter said, what about number 12? He said, who, Rodgers? He said, yeah, everybody. They told Rodgers. I heard Rodgers say on the radio, what are you talking about? Like most four kids. And Winston Moss got fired. And later on, Winston Rodgers did what he did to his coach. This was on footage. This is not, I'm making up. I've seen this. And I don't know why it's never been reported. He's never had to answer about it.
Yeah, never. Barry, let's get the rest of the audience caught up on this, because it was kind of like a under-the-radar kind of thing where you're talking about an assistant coach, Winston Moss, who coached for the Packers, sent out a tweet about how Aaron Rodgers, here's what he said, ponder this, what championship teams have great leadership, period. It's not the offensive guru trend, it's not the safe trend. Find somebody that's going to hold number 12 and everybody in this building to a Lombardi standard, period. Hashtag losing sucks. 9 hours after he sent that tweet, he was fired.
I said bullshit.
Listen, I get it that that can seem a little petty from Rodgers, but also if you're an assistant coach in the NFL, yeah, you call out your quarterback, you're basically begging them to fire you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It almost sounds like he wanted out because, and I don't have an exact memory of that, but I remember Winston Moss was really well thought of too.
The next tweet was, the Packers have informed me that they're letting me go. Hashtag thanks Twitter. So maybe he was like trying to usher in an exit here.
Guess he didn't like Swamico, Wisconsin.
Maybe not. Maybe he's more of a Hobart guy.
Yeah. He went on to become I'm reading his bio, head coach and CEO of a XFL team. So there you go.
Still?
Or I think the XFL is gone, actually.
Yeah, is that still a thing?
I think they the merged, Rock took
they
it
merged
over.
With the UFL, right?
Yeah, I'm just seeing XFL. I don't see him as part of the... Is it UFL now? No. So, yeah, Winston Moss is... Not a social media influencer, obviously. It seems like me, like an old guy on Twitter who made a mistake. He's like, wait, how does this thing work?
I thought that was a DM.
oh, I remember that mistake.
As far as like Rodgers and holding him accountable, listen, I think that we all know, we've all been around this a lot. If you were like the fifth string wide receiver, you probably can't talk openly about using psychedelic drugs in other countries. You probably can't go on Pat McAfee and air people out. There are different rules for different levels of stardom and different levels of ability. And I'm not saying what happened with Winston Moss is right or correct or any of that. But, I mean, we've all been in the game long enough to know you might want to treat everyone well, but no one gets treated the same.
Well, big shout out to all the women backing up the fellas.
Even in New England with Tom Brady, he had special privileges with his trainer, Alex Guerrero, and they tried to take that away to make him accountable in a way, and it all imploded.
Yep.
I think that helped lead to his exit in 2019, which was probably a mistake by New England. You know, you're right. Different quarterbacks deserve different rules. Tom Brady, if he wants to bring his trainer into the building, you let him bring his trainer into the building.
Silly. Let's get to the Cowboy quickie for today. Diana Rossini, you know her, you love her. Guest on the show many times. Ultimate insider for The Athletic. So, was this on her podcast, EJ? Thank you, Scoop City. Diana, at the owners' meeting, staked out with a bunch of other reporters in the lobby of some fancy hotel in New York, says she does not think the Cowboys asked about Max Crosby or have asked about any pass rusher. This whole thing could be a fake out.
Yeah, Dallas never even made a call to the Raiders. So that entire Max Crosby story was so exciting, I think, for Cowboys fans at the thought of it. But that is nothing that actually happened. Dallas never called Vegas about Max Crosby. And I don't believe the Dallas Cowboys really inquired specifically about a pass rusher.
Okay, more from Diana. Cowboys are looking around the league, but not sure what they want to trade to actually get someone.
I know from talking to Jerry today that they are definitely taking a look around the league. But we had this conversation, and we've had it here on Scoop City, where, yes, teams that are in contention that believe that they can go to the Super Bowl want to improve. But if you can't get a player of the caliber that you need, it's not worth it. It's not worth giving up picks.
Is she at a hockey game? What's happening?
Diana, what are you at, the loading dock? Are you in the lobby of the hotel or like back in the kitchen?
I think she actually may have been in the lobby of the hotel. I saw the video.
No, everyone's in the lobby. You got to just hang in the lobby to try to get these owners as they're walking from the elevator to the car.
The video, she's just holding a microphone in any what looks like any normal hotel lobby. People are walking by and stuff. She's dialed in doing this podcast, getting this Jerry Jones stuff out.
I don't know. It sounded like she was ringside at the Stars game.
Diana's the best, man. How about that type of focus? Okay, so a couple things there. Let's pause on that for a second. That's your Cowboy quick. So this whole Max Crosby thing could have been a complete head fake. And then secondly, not really sure that the Cowboys actually want to trade these draft picks that they got for Micah Parsons. Now just, you know, move them out the door, which is actually kind of diametrically opposite to what they said the day they traded Micah Parsons, which is, hey, we've got these draft picks now. We might even flip one tomorrow. You don't know.
Sounds exactly like when Jerry Jones said he was all in and then proceeded to do nothing and go all out in the offseason. So he's just full of it. Like, he says, I'm going to make a big trade. He's not going to make a big trade. He's going to sign. Remember his big trade last year was getting Jonathan Mingo, a wide receiver for a fourth-round pick who's proceeded to get 8 targets since he's been there. He's just a liar. I mean, he says he's a gambler. He's bluffing again because I don't think he's going to make this big trade. And I wonder if he could make this big trade. Maybe he could trade these picks for Max Crosby. Maybe it wasn't even the Raiders who said no. Maybe the Cowboys are just not wanting to do a big deal.
Well, it'd be a waste then because you do have this amazing offense. And if you don't do anything to add to the defense in a meaningful way, besides getting DeMarion Overshawn back, which may happen, but again, how good is he going to be right away? He's coming off a major injury.
He's a freak, though. I love that guy.
good, like, that's a tall task. Like, yeah. Hey, come back and save our defense after you had this massive knee injury.
I was very surprised to hear Diana say that it might not be pass rusher because that's such an obvious need, but their secondary is so banged up, too. It could be they need help there as well.
Let's hear a little more from Jer. According to Diana, Jerry Jones didn't feel any regret watching Micah Parsons tee off on the Cardinals last week because the Cowboys had their own big win.
Michael Parson.
My takeaway from the Parsons conversation was specific to this past weekend, because I said, Jerry, come on, the guy has a career day. And you're telling me you're looking at that situation thinking we wouldn't want him to be a Dallas Cowboy. He said, you think that when I trade away Micah Parsons, I don't think that these days are going to exist. Of course, Micah Parsons was going to have a Micah Parsons type day. He said, but the weekend that just happened was we also won. Right? He's like, so I got a win and I've got picks. And he looked at it that way.
That's going to be hilarious when Parsons holding the Lombardi trophy. Anyway, just save that clip. More from Diana. Doesn't believe Jerry Jones has any regrets about trading Parsons.
I think that's kind of how they emotionally manage it. Of both sides can come out on top of this and both sides can win. I do not get the sense, and we talked for almost 30 minutes, that he has any regret about moving Micah Parsons.
There you go. So that's all. We just emptied the clip on the Cowboys. That's what we got.
Unbelievable, because he shouldn't regret the price tag. $46 million is a lot for Micah Parsons. And I you could argue that they're better defensive ends. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson has been unbelievable for the Lions coming off an injury. But you can't look at this Cowboys team and say they don't miss the star pass rusher. Like, if they had him right now, we'd be looking at another 12-5 season, without a doubt.
It's all a load of crap. But that's my take. Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's got the latest headlines for us. What's up, folks?
Guys, good morning. Your headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football's heating up and basketball's back. So download the Prize Picks app and use code PRIMETIME.
Oh, my God.
And get $50 in bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com. for restrictions and details.
When bust Jama?
I am going to nip this in the bud. Just 34 minutes into the show, noted thespian and the co-host of this fine program, Andrew Aloysius Perloff, barged into our newsroom this morning to tell us all, as if it was breaking news, how amazing Victor Wembanyama is.
Harper attacking in the paint. Harper back to Wemby. Goes up strong with two hands and throws it down. From 2-1, and Wemby with a finish.
40 points, 15 rebounds, 3 blocks from the 8-foot Wemby in his season debut, and his first game since February because of his blood clot scare. And I'll remind everyone, this is the young man who Perloff still owes an in-person apology to for calling him a bust.
When bust Jama?
So I'm not going to allow you to tell us how unbelievable he is. You cannot enjoy, celebrate, bask in the glory of Wemby at all. It is not allowed on my watch.
So when I ran in this morning, I said, are you guys aware there's a 7'7" Frenchman running wild in the NBA? You're like, yeah, we're aware.
Are you called another perfect season? You said they're going to go 82-0.
I mean, how can they not go
NBA.
You can't shoot within 8 feet of the basket when he's roaming around on defense. And then he blocks a shot and dribbles down, crosses over three guys, fires up a three. I don't understand what's happening here.
He skipped into a up and under double clutch dunk last night.
Did you?
Remember when we thought Anthony Davis was good at defense? Well, Wemby went right through his chest. He was like rotisserie chicken out there.
His biggest fear is there's going to be an alley-oop where his head just goes straight into the rim. Did you see the alley-oop where he just grabbed it and dunked it behind his head as if it was nothing? It was as if me was dunking a donut into a cup of coffee. This is out of control.
Forget hitting his head against the rim. He's going to hit his head up against Dirk Nowitzki's retired jersey banner.
I remember I had a feeling last night, and I know Wemby's been in the league for years. Well, 2 years, right? So
this is third.
Yeah, he's been in the league for 2 years. I had a feeling last night watching him. It's like the first time I saw Shaq in the NBA.
Yeah, we all remember where you were.
I've heard of Shaq, yeah.
Yeah, redefining, like, crazy. Oh, I've just never seen that. Or, it's just, I have never seen anything like that. And even Wemby, I've never seen him so solid. He just felt stronger. I don't know what it is.
I think it was stronger, as I said, getting to the rim, going through Anthony Davis. I mean, I was surprised by that. He was, you know, you lamented last year. We joke around that Perloff just discovered Wembanyama last night, but you did talk about him a lot last year for a lot. But you mentioned how disappointed you were that he would always hang on the perimeter. Like, yeah, what are you doing? Yeah. You know, Bogus said you're 8 feet tall. I mean, it's unconfirmed, the 7'5". Like, he could be 8 feet. He looks insane out there compared to everyone else. And these are also the tallest people alive that he's playing amongst. It's the aggressiveness, I thought.
Yeah.
And he looks stronger.
Confident.
Interesting. You talk about him not floating around the perimeter. 40 points last night, 21 shots, only 2 3-point attempts.
Yeah.
So that's good.
This was not somebody, you know, I think averaged almost 6 3-point attempts last year a game, or 5 or 6, I think, at least. So I don't know if that's going to be a shift you're going to see all season, but there was no question there was a shift in how he was approaching that game. He went in there to just run through guys, as Maggie said. It was like it's like those clips that you see, like, you know, Kristaps Porzingis and, you know, Latvia playing like against 12-year-olds or, you know, some of these guys, or Giannis playing against like middle schoolers. That's what it looked like with Victor Wembanyama in the NBA.
Yep.
It was insane.
It reminded me of, I don't know if you guys know the movie Rushmore, Wes Anderson's movie, where Bill Murray blocks a little kid's shot while he's on the phone. It looked like a dad playing with an 8-year-old. And I think it's just beginning, too, because he got more confident during the game. He missed a couple shots early, and I'm like, okay, he's. I could see why people are saying he's better, and then forget it. He just, when his brain is where his body is, he's going to be completely unstoppable.
I'm telling you, went and studied with the monks, and now it's curtains for everyone else.
By the way,
in the
if
NBA.
I was De'Aaron Fox, I'd get healthy real quick, because Stephon Castle was coming for that starting spot. Castle was amazing last night, too. Him and Wemby already have a connection.
Yep. How do you stop the French guy?
Wemby or Ricochet?
Either he's going to get hurt or...
yeah, because everybody cares about what Zachary Ricochet is doing.
Boris Diaw in international play.
Frank Ntilikina, Frankie specific. Smokes.
Hey, we got a new Frenchie guy, okay? We got Pacome Dadier.
I have a theory. The only thing to stop tall guys, I've talked to a lot of friends who are tall guys, like you
yourself?
Know...
Gotta be
like
myself. Man.
Like I was, you know, 6'4", 163 pounds in high school.
Wind stopped you.
Anybody with any strength is a major problem for a tall guy. So you're going to have to get some really strong guy to get into Wemby's body and just force him to be uncomfortable and off the spot. Because there's no one who's going to match his height.
Oh, that's awesome. I can't wait for the Wembanyama-Steven Adams collision of bodies is going to hit like crack.
You're going to bully. Awesome. You're going to have to try and bully him, like the Jordan rules. You're going to have to hit him, which is going to... And I hope the NBA protects him, because that'd be my solution if anyone has a better idea.
It's funny, though, because they're not making centers like that. I don't know if they are making centers like that anymore.
They're
so
not.
The problem, though, last night also, 11 free throw attempts. So he's getting calls, too.
Yeah.
And they were playing time. Anthony Davis just looked like he was throwing his hands up. He's like, all right, now I'm trying to be physical with him.
Yeah.
And I'm touching him, and they're calling the foul. NBA, he's a superstar. He's going to start getting these superstar calls now. Yep. So good luck guarding this guy.
Yeah, and Anthony Davis is no schlub, by the way.
No, he's a phenomenal
He's amazing.
No, he's like one of the best the NBA has.
Like ever.
Yeah, and he looked like a two-guard trying to cover a center last night.
It's Wemby versus Wemby at this point. The only, I think, not about like maybe win the title or whatever. It takes a lot for that, but it's his body.
Yeah.
It just, can it hold up? Can it not hold up?
I mean, it was so impressive last night. It was.
He only played 30 minutes, by the way.
Cooper Flagg's pro debut, and you forgot he was on the court in about 5 minutes. I mean, it was fine, but everything feels like a subplot to Wemby this year.
Also because you can't take your eyes off of him.
Yep.
When you're watching the game, it's like, where else would I look except for at the guy who looks twice as tall as everyone else?
Bogus's face when I came in talking about Wemby. He didn't sigh, but if a face could sigh, it was a sigh.
Well, what's your new excuse for not being in San Antonio to say you're sorry to this young man?
I have legitimate excuses that will be revealed at a later time.
Okay.
Thank you, Bogus. 888-710-4ISN. We're starting to get a little worried about Tua, because he keeps saying really crazy things.
Can we put Tua and Wemby back to back just for the visual?
Can Wemby play quarterback on Sundays?
Is he free? He can see over the line. I can guarantee that.
That is for sure.
Damn.
Unlike Tua.
He can see out of the stadium.
He can see Dan Marino's mansion from the tunnel by the old place.
He can wave to him.
Forget that. He can see Cuba.
He could probably walk there. How deep is that walk?
It's only 14 steps from him.
He's like, wow, Cancun looks nice from here.
All right. Lots more to do. Actually, we have another question for you off of Wembanyama. We'll get to that in a minute. But Tua's acting bizarre, and we got to talk about it. M&P.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Well,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Pearl, we're just like everybody. We love gifts.
Sure.
Isn't it great to get a gift? So walk into the office today, mm-hmm. this morning, and I see a package on the table. We'll get to Tua Tagovailoa in just a moment. Got a package here to the Maggie and Perloff show, our address here in New York City, from Phil in Pennsylvania.
Oh, awesome.
Phil is on the line now. Hey, Phil.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's in the box, man? I have it
here.
What's
in the box?
So if you want to watch on the live stream, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork now. Phil, I don't want you to give it away, but what's behind this and why'd you send us something?
Well, I knew that you were in need of something, so I sent something for you, a gift. And Perloff, I sent a job for you, and it is very self-explanatory.
Okay.
And it's actually my birthday today, so I'd like for you to take care of it.
Oh. Okay. Sounds a little scary. Happy birthday, bud.
Phil.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, so what, are we opening this now?
Go right ahead.
All right, we haven't really built up a lot of drama here.
Okay.
You know, this unboxing, if you will.
Phil, this will be appropriate for national TV.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, Phil, if this is Gwyneth Paltrow's head in a box, yeah. You know, we're going to be in big trouble.
No. It is getting close to Halloween, but nah.
Wait. Where'd you get the scissors? Do you just carry around a pair of scissors, Max?
Yeah, and everyone better know that I carry scissors at all times. No, I had them here in the...
Or keys.
While Maggie's doing this, Phil, you got any trips to Philly planned?
I'm going on Sunday to the Eagles game.
Booyah. Awesome.
Look at you. Phil, what color is your hair right now? Oh, wait. We aren't talking about that. Okay.
Not yet. That's in another month or so.
Okay. Okay. Here we go. From Phil, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and Twitter at Maggie Gray. All right. Hold on, Pearl. All right. I'm going to do this piece by piece. There's a coffee cup. Phil, does this have puke in it?
No, it's a Yeti. You need a Yeti. You threw away yours.
I have
four or five just sitting around. It didn't cost me anything. It was actually free for me. So now I figure you could use it.
Is it gently used?
I maybe drank out of it once or twice, but I washed it thoroughly before I took it.
Thanks, Phil. Hand-me-down Yeti. Thank you. It's silver, and it looks proper. Okay, and then we've got, Pearl, a Sharpie.
Oh,
and
my.
And a jersey.
Whoa.
A Boomer Esiason jersey from the Cincinnati Bengals. Phil, you're crazy, man. Where'd you get this?
Well, you said yesterday that he's about 100 feet away,
yeah,
so I figured it wouldn't be too much of an inconvenience.
We can absolutely have Boomer sign this for you.
What the hell was that all about?
What would you like him to put on the jersey? To Phil or
nothing,
something else?
It's actually for my dad. It was his birthday on Saturday, and I picked it up on Sunday, and I sent it to you on Monday. It's kind of a surprise because he has no idea what I'm doing with it, so it's a surprise belated birthday present for my dad.
Okay, so what's your dad's name so we can tell Boomer?
Steve.
How do you say Steve?
EVE, yep.
Okay. To Steve, happy birthday. Just to Steve, thanks, you know, just a general one, right?
Yep. Yep. That's good. Just, yeah, you could just, you know, sign on the number. But, yeah, I remember I was just thinking about it. I've been putting it off, but figured, you know, if Randall Cunningham can't sign that, I knew my dad had a Boomer jersey.
I got to tell you right now, this jersey is a work of art.
It's so nice.
It's a simple black jersey. You know, in the 80s, they knew how to do jerseys. This thing is really cool, dude.
Phil,
you can definitely tell the quality.
No, the quality is great. We can definitely get this signed for you. We never ran into Randall when we were in Las Vegas, but Boomer, we know. We already have seen him 3 times this morning.
And so. I would have been too tempted to keep the signed Randall jersey, to be honest, Phil. I don't know if I would have let Maggie send that back to you.
All right. Yeah, we can do it, Phil. No problem. Happy to.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Love you guys. I actually have a doctor's appointment at 8 o'clock, so yeah, I got to get going soon.
Yeah, well.
Good luck with all that. Thank you for the slightly used Yeti as well, the coffee cup here. Phil said he only drank out of it a couple times. So thank you. I'll be sure to get right on that.
why do you have to tell us he had a doctor's appointment at 8?
Well, hopefully it's just a checkup.
Listen, guys, he couldn't hang on the phone for an hour and 20 minutes with you guys.
Is that why he pushed it?
I said, listen, I can't hang up for the commercial break and then another commercial break and another commercial break.
Well, you know, okay. Well, glad that we got everyone squared away and everyone's going to be on time.
Yeah, and I mean, Phil hasn't really asked for any Maggie and Perloff sign stuff. He wants Boomer sign stuff. A little offense.
Well, I mean, we don't have jerseys.
I have a Perloff jersey right up there, number 15.
Actually, you're right. I have a couple too.
Yeah.
But we didn't play.
Not at a high level. No, not like Boomer Esiason.
A little different.
Wait, Maggie, you weren't the first female player ever for the New York Rangers?
I could have been, but I had a calling to Sports Talk Radio.
No, the problem was Henrik Lundqvist, a whole bunch of HR violations right there.
Wow.
I thought you couldn't get into the garden.
I'm looking at Maggie's wall of stuff.
All true.
Lot of championships there on that wall. We got a lot of Buffalo Bills stuff. We got a Mets jersey. We got a Nets jersey. Yeah. You could pretend that's a Spurs jersey from now on.
Yeah.
And then a Rangers jersey. So we got 94. Yeah. I'm just saying, not a lot of rings on that side of the room.
Yours is a Vikings jersey. It's the ultimate. One of the ultimate hard luck franchises.
I got a Jalen Hurts. I got a Phillies. I got some hockey team.
But Jalen Hurts says Jalen Hurts on the back, not Andrew Perloff.
Everyone in America wants a signed Jalen Hurts jersey by Andrew Perloff.
Oh, by the way, Hurts is his commercial. Did you guys see? He's got a new commercial out. I don't know who's the worst actor, him or Justin Fields. Both were doing work yesterday. The Hurts commercial is just painful. They're trying to do everything around the fact that this guy can't act. And Justin Fields yesterday might need some improv lessons because he tried to sell the fact that he did not hear that the owner said we can't throw the football and that's why we suck. And didn't land. I wasn't buying it.
That's a great idea. We need comedian improv people to come in and lecture the quarterbacks on how to answer questions. Get Tua, get Justin Fields. Dylan Gabriel, by the way, if you guys haven't been paying attention, has been doing tiny missteps all over the place in Cleveland.
Dude, Daniel Day-Lewis can help these guys. I don't know, the best actor alive could.
They don't even need Daniel Day-Lewis. Just get the Mannings. Peyton and Eli are great actors. They never stepped into crap like these other guys do.
I know, but the Mannings just have a little something. I don't know if they can teach it.
Riz, Maggie?
Maybe. I think that if somebody who's classically trained could actually pass the skills on to someone.
I don't think Riz was used in the proper context right there.
Yeah. The
Mannings?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Jalen Hurts cares.
Clearly he doesn't. That was evident in the work.
And on his play.
888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. All right, we can get this jersey signed by former MVP Boomer Esiason. Coming up, we will get to Tua's comments and also what is going on with Shedeur Sanders.
What the hell was that all about?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.